towards the end of this rains retreat, before it actually finished, the symptoms were a lot of dizziness. He was not well at all. There were several doctors that had wanted him to come to Bangkok to have more intense care. And eventually towards the very end of the retreat, he kind of got so bad and it was very close to the end that he decided that he wanted to go ahead and go to Bangkok and get tests and see what was wrong. So he came down and he was diagnosed with hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain and the ventricles of the brain. And through a long kind of series of tests and consultations, and ultimately at his own decision and discretion, he decided to have a shunting device. If you look at some of the pictures, especially the one of him and I in the hospital, you'll see the little kind of bump on his head. And then you can look down here, you can see the tube. And what it is, they just put a little simple pump into the ventricle of the brain, and it runs off into the stomach area, and you can just pump it, and it releases this pressure. And this was what he was diagnosed with as what was causing a lot of his dizziness and so on. And after he had the operation, he definitely felt better. And I mean, there's so many details through this, but just to really kind of run through it. And he felt better for a short time, but it was kind of hard to know. He thought he felt stronger, a little better. He took some time to recover. And then we came back to the monastery. And it was during that time that when we came back, he was starting to go downhill quite seriously, in the sense that he started to not be himself in the way that he spoke and the way that he addressed people. And what was, I think, really harmful during this period, and there's so much speculation around this, but he was a big sucker for medicine, and especially herbal medicine. And everybody had a cure, of course, for whatever was ailing him. And they had some very strong, powerful herbal medicines. And I think he did have symptoms of diabetes. He had all the conditions, which I personally kind of know a lot more about now. He was overweight. He didn't get a lot of exercise. It's a perfect setup for kind of adult onset of diabetes type 2. And he was being given his medicines, only eating once a day. And I think that they did bring his blood sugar down, because I remember the kind of the symptoms. And I think it actually did cause some kind of damage, brain damage, because from then on it was kind of downhill. And until the final, he had said in his final kind of words, when he was still himself, he said, "I don't want to go back to the hospital." He said, "Enough. That's it." He said, I've had it. The doctors have done everything. And his intention with this operation, and I was there with him the whole time, and a couple of these doctors. And his whole, when the final kind of stage of that, when they said, "This is it," and this, you know, this doctor had done this operation hundreds of times, his only intention was not for himself, but that he would be around for a little bit longer, or however much longer, to be able to serve, to continue to serve. That was his very obvious and concern and intention. But then he had done that, it hadn't worked, and he said, "That's it." Well, then he really was no longer himself. I don't remember the exact details, because I was in such the middle of this 3 years, and Ajahn Pusanok can possibly fill in some of the details. But what happened was that an offer came from a very close supporter of his that was offering him to go to the best neurosurgeon in Thailand, which was the neurosurgeon of the royal family, of the king and the queen. And they offered, so he was being offered to be a royal patient. So his final words were, "I don't want to go anymore," but now he couldn't make that decision. So the community of elders met, and they were then faced with this decision to whether to send him to Bangkok to go under the care of these doctors or not. And they hashed this out for quite some time. And it was a very reasonable decision from what I remember, because they said, well, it's, even though his wishes were not to go back, there's incredible, I mean, this is a great master, and you're getting an offer from the kind of the royalty of the country. So to turn it down and then for something to happen, would be a tragedy. and could be have repercussions, but also to send him against his wishes had repercussions. So the community was put in a very difficult situation, but in the end they decided to send him to Bangkok and to have care with the royal doctors. And that was really, we spent a short time there, and well, I don't remember how long that we spent until the doctors, these doctors also said there was nothing more that they could do. Everybody then again decided, the community of elders had come down and said, let's take him back to the monastery. They had this beautiful clinic built for him that was custom made to take care of everything. And so it wasn't like we took him to the hospital, we took the hospital to him. And it was wonderful. So he came back. And my memory is we came back, I wheeled him back to us. It was just him and I after we'd arrived. And I said to him, and as far as I know, that this was his last word. And I said to him when we got settled after this trip back, I says, do you want to go and walk, go through the, have me push you through the forest in your wheelchair? And he just kind of mouthed the word bye, which means go, meaning yes, you know, let's go. And as far as I know, that was the last spoken word. I never, in the rest of the time I was with him until I went to England, I never heard him ever make a verbal gesture.